Thank you, Pastor Ken. Speaking of being ordained, I mentioned this in the first service. I'm wearing the exact same outfit that I wore that same evening. Just kind of a coincidence. Not that I have nothing else to wear. Just to point that out as well. But yeah, I'm really happy to be here and just share with you a word that I've been sharing with the youth for past 2 weeks. Now, we all know we have something coming up this Saturday. Now, how many men in the house know what's this Saturday? Men? Pastor Ken knows. Okay. Let me just tell you what's coming up this Saturday. It's Valentine's, okay? So for the men, the forget, it's you better get on board with that, because it's going to be too late by the time you remember. So plans and all that kind of stuff, make sure to do that right now. Not right now, right after the service. But we've been talking about relationships, and at the beginning of this year, we talked about connecting with God and with each other. And I'm not going to say many new things here this morning. I'm just going to tell you and reinforce what we've been talking about from a youthful perspective. And we have a different way of reaching out to youth on Fridays. And we started using some of the videos and just fun things. And what we'll do right now, we'll actually show those videos. But as we all know, we talked about not being able to do it alone in this world. We need God first. Amen. So let's just watch these videos, and I'm going to give you a topic, a theme for today.
Keep me in my time zone when my mind's gone and I'm flying. You thirsty, bro?
Yeah, bro, thanks.
Good.
Hey, yo, girl, let me get your number. Hey, yo, girl. Facebook.
Hey, girl, come on,
get in the car. Get it, sir.
I want to talk to you. Come on.
You thirsty, bro?
Hey. What's up? Can I have your number? I follow you on Instagram. Can I have a Snapchat? I was reading the book of numbers last night when I realized I don't have yours.
Girl, are you thirsty?
Okay, so we've been talking about the thirst. But not this kind of thirst. We've been using the bottle as a prop, and this is going to be my prop today as well. I'll leave it here to remind you. We've been talking about the thirst for something. And in this case, the thirst for relationships. And we have among our youth, and even just this generation, even some young adults will know that when we say he or she is thirsty, we actually mean that they are desperate for a relationship. Now, many people can be thirsty after different things. They could be thirsty after success, fame, different things in life. But when we use thirst among the youth, we usually refer to relationships. And then we use that word quite often. And when somebody's like these boys and girls, they were just thirsty. They just wanted a phone number, just, you know, stalking people and that kind of stuff. So if somebody's really thirsty, if someone is really going after someone, they're thirsty for a relationship. So there's one word. So that's one word I'll leave with you, teach you. Thirsty. Can I just hear you all say thirsty?
Thirsty.
Good, thirsty. So thirsty. And then one more word that we have is, the one word that we use is bae. I don't know how many of you guys are familiar with this word, but bae means someone very special. So for my wife, for myself, that would be my wife. She'd be my bae. And then for if there's a relationship that you have, so boyfriend, girlfriend, they would be someone's bae. So we have our hashtag that we use is thirsty bae. So if you actually want to tweet something out or along with this message, you're welcome to use that hashtag. Now I don't know. I'm not gonna go into what hashtag means. So we'll just leave it at that, okay? We'll just leave it at that. So I'm going to start with a statement. I'm going to end with this statement. The statement I want to start with is this. A relationship with God is the most important relationship you can have. So talking about relationships and all the buzz that we are bombarded with in this world, and you go to the magazines, the tablets, and internet, and it's all about relationships that, hookups and broken hearts, and that's what every single song, if you listen to the songs, the double standards, I mentioned this Friday, you listen to like a Taylor Swift CD, and then there's like one song just talks about this perfect relationship, this amazing man, that, and then there's another nine songs that talk about broken heart and one night stands and all that kind of stuff. So completely messed up world we live in, and their standard of relationships. But what I really want to talk about is when someone is desperate for something, have you ever been thirsty, physically thirsty for something in your life, for something to drink? And you come, it's hot out, it's like 40 degrees, you come inside, you come to the fridge, and you're going to drink anything, right? If there is a milk, even if the milk is old, okay, if you're thirsty, you're gonna go after that milk. It doesn't matter if it's an old Coke from like last year's birthday party. You're gonna go after it. It doesn't matter because you're thirsty. So when people are thirsty, generally they go after anything. They settle for anything. So saying that, I'm gonna connect this with the verses from the Bible. I'm gonna read John 7:37 and 38. So my topic is thirsty for relationships. John 7:37, 38, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, Jesus cried. He said this, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. John 6:35, one more verse to read, is, as Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now, going to the very beginning of the Bible, for those of you that have read the beginning of the Bible, or you've heard of this story about Adam and Eve, how God created humanity, and he actually created everything from the beginning, the animals, and then God creates a man, and then he looks at this man, and this man is trying to get along with the animals, but it's not working out. So God actually changes his mind, and he says, well, it's not actually good. My initial design for man to be, for him to be alone, it just doesn't really work out. We got to create something else. So he takes a man, he puts him to sleep, he creates a woman, and then there's man and woman in a very, very, very first relationship that has ever been created was between man, God, man, and woman. So it was God, man, and woman. So that was God's original design. When God created, that's like talking about fairy tales nowadays. When people say fairy tale, or when they watch like these romantic movies and all the that Hollywood is trying to put out, it's all like there's this perfect relationship, people falling in love, and people want that so bad, but it actually doesn't exist. It's fake. It's scripted. And then people are like, oh, this fairy tale, if I only find this person, I'm going to be happy. You know, people are broken and going through stuff, and if I only found this one person, I'm going to be happy. So, because that perfect relationship was in the beginning, Romans beyond knowledge, Adam was actually able to go to God and get some relationship advice, and some advice on dating. How many ladies would be truthful to say that my man needs some relationship advice, or my man needs God to tell him? I certainly do. I know my wife is here, but certainly I do. But this was like a perfect relationship. Eve was like the happiest woman alive ever because God was there giving advice, and it was just a perfect union. So we see here, which is your very first, a second or third fill-in, is relationships are spiritual in nature. So if you go back to your fillings, the first fill-in was you can't do it alone. You need God first. Second feeling was a relationship with God is the most important relationship you can have. And this third feeling is relationships are spiritual in nature. What does that mean for us? See, when people have a relationship problem, whether it's a marriage problem, whether it's a dating problem, or any kind of relationship, friendship, we can freely say that most likely they have some spiritual problems too. Because relationships are in nature spiritual. You see, what happened when the fall happened, which is Adam and Eve deciding to go their own way. We were over at the Christmas. I have to mention this again. Hopefully, nothing's going to happen. We were at the Christmas banquet as a staff, and this guy made a joke, and he said, "You know, Adam must have been Amish because he chose apple over a naked woman beside him." So, just when that happened, when they actually chose to do what God forbid, they actually died, not physically, but they actually died spiritually. Right? That's what happened. And they were cast out of this perfect relationship, and they went out on their own to deal with life. And then we'll read on later on when you connect the dots and see all the things that happened. They have kids, and then these kids, Adam and Eve don't actually know really how to even raise these kids. They go and they get in a fight and they kill each other. So everything is broken from that point on. When they decided to go their own way, it literally went everything that went downhill. If you need help and guidance in dealing with your children, giving them advice, we need to go back to God, involve God. Amen? So this thirsty world tells us something about this mess that Adam and Eve started. So since man sinned, we've been broken, and we've been longing for a relationship. Now, because people are very thirsty for relationships, they look to find their meaning, their purpose, their significance in other people. And this is where I like you to share a known story from the Bible, but just give it a little different spin. There was this woman in John chapter 4. She was a Samaritan woman. And she came to draw some water, physical water, from this well that was built ages ago. So when she came to the well, she met Jesus there. And Jesus asked her to give him some water. And she was sort of thrown off because Samaritans and Jews did not really have a conversation back in the day. It was like there was this thing between them. And then she asked Jesus, "Why are you speaking to me? Aren't you a Jew? I'm a Samaritan." And Jesus says, "Well, if you only knew who you're speaking to, you would ask me to actually give you living water." So she's kind of thrown off there, and she doesn't understand completely what he's saying. "What kind of living water are you talking about? Are you some sort of magician or genie, or what are you talking about? Are you actually telling me?" She goes on to Jesus to say, "Are you actually telling me that this living water that you're talking about is something better than this water? And are you actually telling me that you're greater than the ones that actually built this well?" And then Jesus says, "Call your husband." He goes into another topic, and then she goes and she says, I don't really have a husband. I have a boyfriend that I live with, but you know, he's not really my husband." And Jesus says, "Yeah, you're right, he's not your husband. And the other five people that you've been married to were not really truly your husbands." So Jesus came with a very simple answer to this woman. And as we can see from the story, this woman, she was broken, she was lost, she was confused. But Jesus had love and compassion for her. And he wanted to help her out. Now, as you read in the story and as you kind of take a different spin on it, what do we see here? We actually see that this woman was thirsty. She was thirsty for physical water, but she was also thirsty for something else. She was actually going from one man to another man, to another man, to another man, to another man, trying to get those men fulfill her need that they could not do. She was going from a smart to a good-looking to a successful businessman to a kind and gentle one to a really bad one, trying to find the fit, but it didn't seem to work out. And Jesus knew this. Jesus saw this. But he wasn't there to condemn her. He was there to help her. But she was running from relationship to relationship, having this void that man could not fill. And relationships are spiritual. They're spiritual in nature. It is more than just a physical appearance. Because God created relationships, it all started with him. He was the one who created everything from the beginning. So that means that a person, a physical person, whether it's a man or a woman, cannot fix us. Jesus said to this woman, if you keep drinking from this well, in a spiritual sense, you're always going to end up thirsty. You're always going to end up being thirsty. Because relationships will not completely, fully satisfy you. Physical relationships. And the question is, are we focused on God? Or are we focused on relationships? And one of the things that I've learned from the marriage things that we've been taking, they're talking about the deepest needs that human beings have. And the question came up, what's our deepest need? And then we all have these needs that when we wake up, and they are, number one, their identity. There is actually, let's just go by this list here. Number one is identity, then acceptance, then security, then in purpose. Which means we all have these needs, but these needs can only be met by God alone. Nobody else and nothing else on this world. Because when we have identity issues, you know, we are very significant. We're very special to God. And nobody else can actually tell us that. We cannot, you know, people will never actually truly be able to tell us that we're fully accepted and special. And then acceptance, knowing that we're loved unconditionally. Security is knowing that we're protected and provided for and purpose, knowing that there's a plan for our life. You see, these things can only be met by God. And only God can meet our deepest needs. So there's another feeling there, which is a question. Who meets your deepest needs? And then it goes into these. Identity, acceptance, security, and purpose. So only God can actually do that. There's no human being that can actually meet our deepest need. So if we don't make Jesus the Lord of our life, what happens? We'll make something else. Whether some other person, usually try to make some other person Jesus to us, or some other thing, closest people to us. So most people they don't come to Jesus. If they don't come to Jesus to meet their deepest need, they often end up being hurt, and they never really find what they desperately seek in life. And Jesus says in another reference to the Bible, he says, all who are thirsty, let them come to me, and I'll give them drink. They will satisfy them. See, Jesus promises that he will actually satisfy our deepest needs, while all the other relationships and things will actually keep us thirsty, if I can say it like that. And anytime in our life, if our relationship with God is not in order, if it's not first and foremost, then how can we expect any other relationship to work? Either God will satisfy our needs, or we're going to expect somebody else to do that. And when we do that, we're actually going to end up being disappointed and broken and hurt, because that somebody else cannot do it. Because we're all messed up. So, Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Either trusting in our own heart or trusting somebody else is not going to help us. You see, this woman at the well, she thought that these five men have let her down, and then she ended up just being with the guy that didn't want to commit anymore because she was broken. She was hurt. But the real truth is that she was actually expecting something that man could not give her. She was expecting something that man could not give her. So because there have been times in our life that we didn't allow Jesus to actually fill our deepest need. We have had people, relationships, things that we have done in our lives, we have expected them to fill us and to quench our thirst. But it actually, we ended up being disappointed and hurt. See, we can try to make someone to be Jesus to us, but it's not going to work out. There's only one Jesus. So, because we're all broken and hurt, and we all have a past, we all have something that we've been through, and whether it's our own personal relationships that we've been in or something else that we've been hurt by, you know, we need to come to God first, to His living water that actually will be able to quench our thirst forever. God's will for our life is to strive for a relationship with Him, number one. And His will for our life is to actually be holy. Not to strive for another relationship, if whether you're single or whether you're married. He wants us to become holy first. That's so that leads us to another point, which is relationships that involve God last forever. This means, because God is a spiritual being, he relationship in nature is, if it's not founded on a spiritual foundation, it won't last long. See, many people base their life on relationships and things that do not last. I made a remark on Friday, and you ask some people, so what are you guys having, you guys are dating, so what do you guys see in each other? And there's people come up with the stupidest things and excuses to be together. Oh, we have a song together. Or, hey, we have just some experiences, you know. Our parents were born on the same day, in the same year, or something stupid like that. You know, people come up with all kinds of different excuses to be together, but in the end, relationships are deeper than just physical. Chemistry doesn't last forever. When people say, oh, when I'm together with him or her, it's butterflies, I just can't stand. Butterflies fly away. And they oftentimes never come back. So we can't base our life and our relationships on the things that do not last. That's my point. Because the only thing that lasts in the end, is, as we learn from the Bible, is God alone and His Word and His Spirit. So when I hear someone saying, "Oh, I can't live without Him," that tells me that there's something wrong. You're not trusting God enough. You can't live without person because God gives you strength to live without that person or with that person. So, if we have Jesus, it's kind of cliche, but if we have Jesus, we will have an easier relationship life. It's very simple. When we trust in people more than we trust in God, we will fall. And often we can distinguish this and talk about this on this level. When we have a problem, when we have something going on, whether it's a relationship problem or any kind of problem, who do we go first? Who do we go to first? Do we go to a person, another relationship, or do we go to eBay, Amazon, credit cards? You know, what do we go to? Friends? And I know most of us in this room do believe in Jesus. We believe that Jesus is the only way. So if Jesus is the only way, why don't we trust Him with our relationships? With things that we have that we're dealing with? So the most important thing is our own personal relationship with God. That's all that matters. That's where everything starts, everything ends. So if we go to Jesus first, it changes. This is another fill-in. If we go to Jesus first, it changes every relationship in our life. Proverbs 29:25, he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. And Psalm 125 says, those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. And 1 Corinthians talks about this perfect love. If you go to weddings, or they're not really read at funerals, but if you go to ceremonies and you hear this love, talking about this ideal love, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it doesn't dishonor others, it's not self-seeking. And usually when we read this, we think about that other person, and we think about that somebody else, oh, this is for, oh, if I only found this patient, kind, loving, honoring, loving person, everything would be great. But it's a lie. That kind of person does not exist. It's not about not a feeling. It's not about searching or making or finding that right person. It's about becoming that right person. And we can only become that right person. We can only become the right person if our relationship with God is in order first. There's no other way. When you let Jesus fix you, and when you let Jesus quench your thirst, he'll make you more like this, and you'll be able to carry out this nature of love that everybody wants, everybody talks about. So without Jesus being there first, you know, we'll end up being impatient, prideful. We're going to start keeping the records of wrong, and it's just not going to be good. Even the most spiritual people are imperfect. Because there's only one Jesus. There's only one perfect person that ever lived. So we need to just understand this. This is my last sort of point and last fill-in. Is Jesus does disappoint. He meets our needs and expectations, and he is always faithful. And we have just sang a few songs and talked about how Jesus is the cornerstone and how he's the peace and he's the love and he's everything. We sing about these songs all the time. Sing about Jesus all the time. But we need to actually get it that he is the only way. And a relationship with him, with God, is the most important relationship that you can have. Nothing else. So if you have problems in life, which we all do, you need to ask yourself, did I go to God? Did I go to him first? Did I ask Jesus to come into my heart and quench my thirst? John, you can come up to the podium. Maybe there's something new for you, and maybe you've heard this story before, that God is number one and God should be, but maybe you've been living and you've been struggling to find that way. And Jesus says, I'm the way. If you thirst, come to me, and I'm going to quench your thirst. And then Jesus goes on to say, you'll never be thirsty again. How many of us today want this? To never thirst ever again. So let us just all stand. I'm not sure where you are with your walk, but I want to pray a prayer that I'll believe in and just... I just want us to recommit our lives to God this morning and just say, God, we need you first. God, I cannot do this alone. I need you first. I cannot make anything better without you being there helping me. Because we cannot help ourselves. If we could, we just can't. We cannot do it without God. So let us just all, if you want to be included in this prayer, you can just raise your hand. I'm just going to pray a prayer. You can repeat after me if you feel comfortable. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for your unconditional love and forgiveness. I pray right now that you would forgive me when I ran to other things instead of coming to you first to quench my thirst. Thank you, God. I make you the Lord and Savior of my heart. And I want to follow you and I want to trust you with all that I am. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And amen. If you are thirsty, go to Jesus. I love you guys. And I just want to leave you with this thought. Valentine is coming up. Maybe this is a good conversation to have on a Valentine with someone that you love. But if you're alone, if you're single, don't worry about it. God cares for you. If you're married, don't worry. God cares for your marriage too. Okay? Just go to Him first and He will help you. He will sort things out. Just trust Him. Amen? Okay, you can go in peace of the Lord, and there's some things you can sign up in the back. If you need some prayer, you can come up and we'll pray for you. Amen.